Well, we're going to continue our lively and life-giving discussion about the incredible gifts of the Holy Spirit. We know from our study, we've been in 1 Corinthians for a long time, since about September. And when we got into chapter 12, that's when the topic changed to primarily being about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so it's been a couple months that we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And we remember from the beginning of chapter 12 that God's Word reminds us and tells us there are varieties of gifts. And to each, he's talking about every believer, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And God's Word says, in all these gifts, every one of these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions them or gives them out, distributes them to each one. Again, that's to every believer individually as He wills. It's God who does this. So all of these gifts that God has given us, that the Holy Spirit, God has given us, the church, they're good, they're beautiful, and they're needed for the body of Christ to truly thrive. All of them are important. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Chapter 14 is all about Paul saying, make room for all of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given the body of Christ. Because they're all good. However, this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to focus on one particular gift. The gift of tongues. Why single out this gift? Are you crazy, Pastor? Why single out this gift? Well, first of all, there's been a whole lot of talk about it already in God's Word as we've been studying 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, but a whole lot of it in chapter 14. A whole lot of talk about the gift of tongues. But another reason that we're going to single out this particular gift is because the gift of tongues is often the most controversial and the most mysterious of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be controversial. It doesn't need to be so mysterious. It doesn't need to be, you know, weirding us out as believers. It just doesn't have to be, because God's Word speaks very clearly about the gifts and about this particular gift, the gift of tongues. So the title of today's sermon is Untangling Tongues, Removing the Mystery by Looking Biblically. Untangling Tongues, Removing the Mystery by Looking Biblically. Let's go to the Bible. We're going to be back in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You can turn there right now. We're going to go to the Bible. We're going to allow the Apostle Paul, who has been directed by the Holy Spirit as he's writing this. So we're going to allow God to provide clear instruction about this gift of tongues. First thing I want to do is to give us somewhat of a definition of the gift of tongues. And we're going to again let God's Word give us that definition. We're going to be the second verse of chapter 14 for that overarching, big picture definition of the gift of tongues. It says in verse 2 of chapter 14, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Tongues is a gift from God that allows us to speak to God by the Spirit and in the Spirit. Tongues, based on the biblical definition here, is speaking out or uttering things coming out of our mouths, uttering things that sound mysterious in the natural because they're not our natural language. They're not a language that we understand that we're forming in our mind as a language, but we're speaking out the mysteries in the Spirit according to God's Word. In a lot of ways, what we're doing is we're speaking in a heavenly language that God is giving us. Words and language and utterances that are coming from God, the Spirit, capital S is what it says in verse 2, coming from the Spirit that we are speaking out. from our mouths. So you can see why people think, wow, that's mysterious. That sounds kind of crazy. Because it is. It's not natural. But it's God. Supernatural. It's God. The gift of tongues is also thought of as mysterious because it's so diverse in how it's used, in how it's lived out, in how it's exercised. There's not just one way that the gift of tongues is used. It's very diverse. And so what I want to do this morning, in order to remove some of the mystery, in order to remove some of the fear about this gift, and replace that mystery and that fear with excitement and desire, what I want to do is I want to look at five different uses or benefits from the gift of tongues. And there are more than this. These are just the five that we're going to cover this morning. Five uses of this gift called the gift of tongues. You ready? Let's go to number one. See, as we're untangling tongues, we're going to see that number one, that tongues is a form of spiritual prayer. Tongues is a form of spiritual prayer. Again, back to chapter 14, verse 2. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So tongues is a gift that helps us speak to God. Helps us pray. Helps us in our prayer life. Tongues is a gift that helps us speak or pray to God. Now, how many of you desire to speak to God and to commune with God more? Yeah. Every believer who's been touched by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, who's been transformed, who's been reborn, wants more time with God, wants to hear His voice more, wants to talk to Him more, wants to commune with Him more. And tongues, one of the benefits of tongues, as defined by God's Word, is that it allows us to speak to God in the Spirit. To speak to God more, to pray more, to commune with Him more. We could stop right there and immediately say, this is a good gift, and this is something that I earnestly desire, to speak to God more, to have my prayer life go to another dimension, to commune with Him in a new way. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. So tongues is a vehicle for greatly enhancing our prayer life. Then check this out. 1 Corinthians 14:4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. It's a good thing. So if tongues is speaking to God, is taking our prayer life and enhancing our prayer life in some way, then if we speak to God more, if we're praying to God, doesn't that build us up? When you guys pray, when you spend time with God, when you're praying and you're with the Lord and you're in His presence and you're communing with Him and you're sitting and you're listening to Him, does that not build you up? I mean, I go to prayer on Wednesdays, and sometimes I don't want to go. I'm just being real with you right now. I'm tired. I've had a rough day. Maybe I'm under the weather, whatever it might be. The enemy's just messing with me, and I just don't even want to go to Wednesday night prayer, but I lead Wednesday night prayer. And so I go to Wednesday night prayer, and every single time I leave built up. I am not kidding you. I look back and I think back every time I leave built up, and I am glad that I was there with my brothers and sisters, with God, praying. Prayer builds us up. And so God wants you to be built up. Isn't that neat? He doesn't want you to go through life all, oh, woe is me, life is horrible. That's we weren't born again for that. The enemy wants to do that. He comes to kill, rob, and destroy. God came to give us life, and that to the full. And so He wants to build us up. And so what has He done to build us up? He's given us this gift of tongues, this spiritual prayer gift of tongues, to be able to commune with Him, because when we commune with Him, it builds us up. And so tongues builds us up, and check this out, Jude 20 and 21. Something very similar to that message in Jude 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. You see the connection. Building yourself up and praying in the Holy Spirit. That's praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, spiritual prayer. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So praying in tongues is going to build you up. That's what God's Word says. That's why it's a gift. That's why it's a good thing. Praying in tongues is going to build you up. It's going to build up your prayer life. Tongues actually enhances our relationship with God, just as the other gifts do. Gift of wisdom, of knowledge, gift of prophecy, these gifts, they enhance our relationship with God. So does tongues. And it's a tool that God has given us to more deeply commune with Him. And because of that, every believer, as God's Word instructs, should earnestly desire this gift, just as we should earnestly desire all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said in chapter 14, he made these statements. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Is that some kind of arrogant statement? No, he's just saying tongues is so good. I'm grateful that I speak in tongues a whole lot because it builds me up. It fills me up. It builds me up. He understands that. And then he says to the church, he says, I want you all to speak in tongues. Why does Paul want everyone in the body of Christ, every believer, to speak in tongues? Because he just spoke this reality that it builds up people. It builds us up. And he understands that we need to be built up. And so he encourages, earnestly desire this gift. And I desire that you would all speak in tongues. This leads us into the second use or benefit of tongues. Number one is a form of spiritual prayer. The second use of the gift of tongues that we're going to talk about this morning is that it's a vehicle for delivering prophetic words. Continuing in verse 5 of chapter 14. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Didn't say instead of tongues prophesy, but even more than that, he's talking in the context we spoke a couple weeks ago about the public gatherings is the whole context here. And he's saying, I want you to prophesy more in your public gatherings instead of just doing tongues, because when you prophesy, everyone can understand that. It's going to build everybody up instead of just building you up individually. So when you're together, prophecy, yes, yes, yes. So it's a both and. I want you to do both. But when you're together, even more so, the prophetic words are going to be better for the common good because everyone can understand it. He says this, though. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. So do you see what's happening here? Tongues is being used as kind of an initial delivery method of a prophetic word. When tongues is used in a public gathering where it's spoken out publicly to the whole church, it's given as a word to the whole church, the Lord then can release and often does and almost always does releases the gift of interpretation, interpreting tongues to an individual who then brings the interpretation of that tongue, which is a prophetic word, a word from the Lord to the whole congregation. And so tongues is a delivery method of prophetic words. Pretty cool. Now, this isn't always the way God chooses to do things. We see most often in this congregation that the Lord just gives a believer the gift of prophecy and gives them a word from Him to share with the whole congregation to build up the body of Christ, as we hear nearly every single Sunday here at Evident Life Church. That's a very common way, but we've also seen recently how God has used the gift of tongues in a public gathering for the purpose of bringing forth a prophetic word. Bringing forth a prophetic word that came out of an interpretation of that tongue. We can't put God in a box. God wants to do it this way. He's going to do it this way. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us these gifts and how you use them and how you apportion them and how you roll them out. And we trust you on how you're going to do that. We're not going to put you in a box. We want all that God has for us. So we say yes and amen to however He wants to speak to us. And sometimes He uses the gift of tongues to do that, even corporately. followed by the gift of interpretation, which ultimately is bringing forth that prophetic word. Pretty cool. Let's look at the third use. Pretty cool. Really cool. Let's look at the third use or benefit of this gift of tongues as we untangle tongues here. Tongues is an instrument of praise and thanksgiving. So first of all, it's a form of spiritual worship. It's a method of delivering prophetic words. God will use it that way. But he'll also use it and give it to us as an instrument of praise and thanksgiving. Continuing in chapter 14, verse 15. What am I to do? Paul's asking that question. What am I to do? In other words, do I use the gift of prophecy or tongues? What am I supposed to do here? Speak in tongues or prophesy? Paul answers his question there, his own question. He says, I will pray with my spirit. In other words, I will pray in tongues. I'll speak in tongues. I'll pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. In the natural. Processing it with my thoughts and speaking it in the natural language of the people in the gathering. I'll do both of those. And then he says this, I will sing praise with my spirit. Singing in tongues. Singing praise using the gift of tongues. But I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, now there's another one, giving thanksgiving with the spirit, through the gift of tongues. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. So, the gift of tongues opens up a whole new realm of praise and worship and thanksgiving. So are you seeing why we need to earnestly desire these gifts? This is just one gift that we're going to focus on. But I'm hoping what it's doing is whetting everybody's appetite for the gifts of the Spirit. Because they're good. They build us up. They're for the common good. They're from God. If there's any gift that's good, Gilbert just said he got a new gift. And he was excited about it. We have gifts from God that will blow away any toy that any kid could ever get or any whatever. I mean, we have gifts that God has given us. Here, they're for you. I'm hoping that this is whetting our appetite for these gifts, that we would earnestly desire them. Remember, go after them. Not just think happy thoughts or put them in some kind of doctrinal theological box and close the drawer and say, okay, that's good. We got that figured out. Let's move on. But no, body life, real life, communing with God, these gifts, that we would go after them. So as we talk about this one particular gift, may it whet our appetite for them all. Tongues allows us to praise God, not just with our minds, but with our spirits. From our inner man. Let me back up just for a moment. There are times when we know in our minds what we need to pray. Often that's the case. We know what we need to pray. It's in our minds. Our thoughts are formulated. Our minds are fixed on it. And we go after it. And we begin to pray into that thing. We begin to declare God's word over that situation, over that loved one, over that physical ailment, even as we were doing this morning. And we know what to pray, and we pray it out, fully understanding what we're praying and what we need to pray. And I thank God for that ability to be able to do that, that he gives us that. We feel the burden to pray, and we do it. But there are times, there are other times when we feel this need to pray, when we have this need to cry out to God, when things are about to just burst inside of us, but we can't even put the thoughts together. We don't even know how to form it together to even let something come out of our mouths that makes any sense at all. But we know we need to pray. We need God and we need to cry out. And God, in his goodness, has given us a gift so that we can let that come out of us. And so that we can go to God when our minds are confused, when our minds don't have it all together, but our spirit, our heart, our inner man knows that it needs to cry out. And God says, here's a gift. So that you can do that. Here's a gift. It says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit, capital S, that's God, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit, God Himself, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Thank you, God. The Holy Spirit fills our mouths and allows that which is within us to come out. Those groanings. God gives us the words. He gives us the words. And He uses the gift of tongues to do that. To pray in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Prayers that are coming directly from heaven. We don't know what to pray. But we're walking by the Spirit. All it talks about in Romans 8 is talking about walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Being in the Spirit. And when we're in the Spirit and we're allowing the Spirit to work in us and through us, He gives us words. He gives us heavenly words directly from the throne room, directly from God. Words to fill our mouths that we get to pray out, speak out, and in this passage, praise out and sing out to God. Tongues allows our worship life, just like our prayer life, to go to a whole nother level. Because it's a gift from God. We get to sing the songs of heaven with the Holy Spirit giving us the perfect lyrics. And there are times I want to praise God. I don't even know what to sing or what to praise. And frankly, I'm a bass player, so I don't even know most of the words. I just play, right? And just let it come out that way. Well, you know what? I can just praise and worship and give thanksgiving in the Spirit, and I do often, because I got something in me that wants to praise God and wants to glorify Him. And He gives me that gift to be able to do that, even when my mind doesn't have it all figured out. But my heart and my spirit, man, they know what they want to do. And the Holy Spirit, in my weakness, fills me with words from heaven to sing back to God. What a gift. What an amazing gift. It's a gift worth earnestly desiring, isn't it? Tongues is also, number four, it's a tool for evangelism. You can turn to Acts 2. In Acts 2, we see the day of Pentecost. All the saints, what were they doing? They were gathered together in the upper room. They were gathered together. I want to underscore that every time I get to this passage, every time I get to talking about Pentecost, I want to underscore the importance of the saints gathering together, of us not forsaking the gathering of the saints. God moves in special, powerful ways, as He did on the Pentecost, as He did on the day of Pentecost, and throughout the New Testament, throughout the book of Acts, as you read the history of the early church, we see God moving in powerful ways when His people are gathered together in the name of Jesus, waiting on the Lord and allowing God to move. God comes and He shows up. So, the saints are there. They're waiting for the Lord. They're waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Oh, God's word is true. He's true. The Holy Spirit shows up. Fills all of the people in the room. And they began to speak in tongues. And they went out of that upper room speaking in tongues. And everyone was like, whoa, what is happening here? What is up with this group of people? Some thought they were drunk. They were out of their minds. They were crazed people. Others were blown away because these people who are not my people are speaking in my very specific language and dialect. They're speaking things that they shouldn't be able to speak in a language they should not be able to speak. And it got people's attention. It got their attention. And what happened after that? Peter comes up after everybody's attentions turned to these crazy Christians who just came out of the upper room filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what, when the church is walking in the fullness of the Spirit, it will get the attention of the world. And the world needs to turn their attention away from all the filth and junk and turn their attention to God. And when the people of God are walking in the fullness of the Spirit, it will turn heads. And yeah, they may think we're crazy and nutty, but it will turn their heads. And they will look at the people of God instead of all the other garbage. And what happened at that moment when the people turned their heads and they looked away from all the other stuff and they turned and they were paying attention to the people of God filled in the Spirit? Peter spoke. The Lord came upon Peter, poured out His Spirit all over him, and he began to preach and prophesy the gospel, the Word of God. And in many ways, I believe he was even in giving interpretations to some of the things that the believers were probably already speaking in tongues. He was speaking the Word of God to this audience, to this world that needed to hear the gospel. It says in verse 37 of Acts 2, "Now when they heard this," Peter's preaching, "when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And you too will get this gift. You too will get this that you see these others have right now. You're going to get this too. And you too will get the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And listen to this, verse 40. "And with many other words, he bore witness and he continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.'" In other words, repent and be baptized. "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." The gift of tongues. The gift of tongues was used in that process of evangelism, of bringing 3,000 people to the Lord. The gifts of the Holy Spirit used, received, exercised by the body of Christ as the Lord apportions them to each in the body, as he rolls them out to the body of Christ, as the body of Christ says yes to them and walks in those and uses those. God uses that. He turns the head of people in the world to the cross to hear the gospel message, and people get saved. God's ways, they seem to work. I know this isn't, you know, this big list of and this big master plan of how to build a church and how to, you know, you got to have this ministry and that one. They got to fit this way. And if you meet at this time instead of this time, and then you do this and you sing this song and you order the service this way and that way, then it's no. God's way is receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, earnestly desire the gifts, receive them, walk in them, and use them, and God does the work. God adds to the number of the church, builds the body of Christ, brings those being saved into the kingdom of God. God does the work. Awesome. The final use of tongues that we're going to look at this morning. Number 5, tongues is a weapon for spiritual warfare. Tongues is a weapon for spiritual warfare. How many of you know that life can be hard? How many of you understand that we're in a battle? That there is an enemy? That the devil is real? He's real. There are people in the world today that say the devil isn't real. There are even Christians who are starting to believe that the devil is not real. Okay, that's just wrong. It's unbiblical. It's stupid. All right, I use that word. Use the S word in church. Okay, it is. It's just wrong. Okay, the devil is real, and he hates us, says that he comes to kill, rob, and destroy, to take us out. I have a cousin, a younger cousin, who just got taken out, pulled into drugs and alcohol and all of that kind of stuff. He was robbed of the joy of the Lord and everything that God had for him while he lived on this earth. And then he departed very early from this earth, because that's the fact that we're in a battle. And the enemy wants to take us out in any way that he can. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We're in a battle. It's real. I believe we're beginning to see it much more on the surface here in America than we ever have before. It's always been real. It is real. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. We're not battling against people. We're sharing the gospel with people because we love them just like God loves them. But we're battling against the devil, against the spiritual forces of darkness. And it's real, and we've got to understand that, and we've got to engage in the battle and crush the enemy and break down the strongholds and expose the lies and bring freedom into people's lives. We are the people of God. This is our charge from the Lord. So how do we wage war? How do we fight? How do we get victory? Going back to Ephesians 6, we see that we take up the armor of God. There are certain things we do, there are certain ways we live, and when we live God's way and we do things God's way, we actually are built up and we have armor that the Lord puts on us, spiritual armor that He fits us with, that allows us to withstand the attacks of the enemy and allows us to go out on the attack, on the offensive against the enemy, to crush him. Check this out. I'm going to jump right in the middle of the whole passage about the armor of God. Verse 16 of Ephesians 6. "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now check this out. This, people usually just blow by this. "Praying at all times in the Spirit." We're talking about spiritual warfare, how to do spiritual warfare, how to take the offensive, how to crush the enemy, how to break down strongholds. We take up the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and we pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. "To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Verse 18, though, back to that. Did you see that? The sword of Spirit, the Word of God, that's a weapon for crushing the enemy in our spiritual warfare, but also praying at all times in the Spirit. It's both. It's both. We have got to be students of God's Word. We've got to know it. What did Jesus do when He was tempted? When the enemy was coming after Him in the wilderness, He spoke the Word of God. He took out the sword of the Spirit. He spoke the Word of God, and He caused the enemy to flee. He had to run at the truth spoken by Jesus. We need to know. We need to know God's Word. You need to be a student of God's Word. You need to be memorizing it. And you need to be praying it. And whenever you run into a trial, temptation of any kind, you need to be going to God's Word and you need to be declaring it over that situation. But you also need to be praying in the Spirit. Don't forsake the other weapon that you have for spiritual warfare. Don't leave it on the shelf. You have another weapon. Praying in tongues, in the Spirit. Uttering mysteries in the Spirit. Speaking things that God puts in your mouth that come out, that crush the enemy. The reason that number 5 is in the message this morning, as why it's another use, is because last Friday I was with David Caldwell when he got the call and heard that his first grandchild, Samuel, was born, but he was born and he wasn't breathing properly. And there was concern, and they called the EMTs, and all of this was happening. Now, David, because of God's goodness, had gotten a word from the Lord earlier that day that this is not unto death. He didn't understand exactly what it was, but he just took it as a word from the Lord, and he heard what was happening with Samuel, reminded himself of that word, but it was still crushing him. And he was crying, and he was weeping. I hope I can share that, brother. and we were praying. And we were in the lobby of the hotel, 20, 30 people around us from our group, from all different experiences and backgrounds and beliefs from the body of Christ. And we begin to pray, and we begin to pray for Samuel, for baby Samuel. And all that could come out of me after about three or four sentences was I began praying in the Spirit out loud. That's all that could come out of me. All that could come out, and I'm just praying in the Spirit in the lobby with some people thinking I'm a nut, just like they thought on the day of Pentecost. But that's all I could do was pray in the Spirit. And I'm thinking of Ephesians 6, and I'm thinking of the fiery darts and how those are extinguished because of faith. And this is a man of faith, a family of faith, and we're crying out and we're praying in the natural and in the Spirit. And God moves. The Lord has given us this gift of tongues for so many purposes because it's so good. Therefore, we should earnestly desire it. And we are in a spiritual battle. And praying in the Spirit, the gift of tongues, using that is a way to do battle. Praying at all times in the Spirit, it says in Ephesians 6, is a way for us to do battle and to crush the enemy when he's trying to take us out. Let me conclude. I have a few things I want to say in conclusion here. We can live the Christian life without these gifts, leaving them on the shelf. We can. We can try it. We can plow our way through in our own strength. We can try that. But we would be accepting less than what God really has for us. You know, I see it this way, that you can walk from one shore of this nation to the other, from one coast to the other. You can get across this nation by walking. You can. If you're physically able, you can suck it up, toughen up, and you can hoof it from one side of this country to the other side. It's going to take you a long time. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be painful. But there's a chance you could make it if you hoof it from one side of this nation to the other. You can also get a plane ticket that's been given to you. By the way, it's free. There's a free plane ticket for you. And you can get on an airplane, and within a couple hours, you can go from one side to the other in first class. No extra fee for baggage or anything like that. That's taken care of. Everything's taken care of. There are different ways you can do this thing. There's different ways you can travel in this life. There's different ways that we can walk out the Christian life. We can slug it out and hoof it in our own strength. I can do this. I don't need that. I don't need that plane ticket. I can walk across it. I can do it. I don't need that. That newfangled thing called an airplane is crazy. I probably thought that at one time, right? Or you can accept that free gift of that ticket. God has given us these gifts so that we as church can take off. Just like that airplane does. So that we can take off and thrive and see His kingdom come mightily right now. Right now, where we are, where we live, in our lives, through our lives, in our community. He's given us these gifts for those purposes. Jesus said, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues. 1 Corinthians says, I want you all to speak in tongues. Paul says that. And then he finishes this whole passage of chapter 14 to make sure nobody got confused. And he says, brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, I will tell you this. I do not believe, and I don't believe God's word says that tongues is the litmus test for salvation or for being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it's the litmus test for that. I don't think it's the sign that you really are saved or that you have the fullness of God in you. I don't believe that. But it is an amazing, diverse, and powerful gift that God has for His people. And God's word encourages us to earnestly desire it. And why would God? He doesn't play with us. We're His precious children. He doesn't play with us. He doesn't say, go after that, and then whoop, pull it away, whoop, pull it away, whoop, and laughing up in heaven at us. He doesn't play those games with us. We're His kids. We're His children. He loves us. And He has told us, go after that gift. It's right there. Earnestly desire it. Go after it. And then trust God. For He will apportion that gift and every other gift as He wills. As He desires. I've told you my testimony about the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues was not the first gift of the Holy Spirit that I received. That came later after earnestly desiring it. And then stepping out in it in faith. And frankly, between me and God, sounding like a little baby. Goo goo gaga. And feeling a little silly after a while. But knowing that this was a good gift. And I was going to keep going after it. And I'm here to tell you, it's an amazing gift. It truly is an amazing gift that God has for His people. So I want to be just be straightforward and clear right now about all these gifts. As we're going to move on to chapter 15 next week. I just want to make sure that we process this properly. That we don't get into that thing of, because God's word already told us not to envy and all that kind of stuff. It's not about that. It's not about who's greater and who's lesser. It's not about, oh, they have this and I don't, and why and what's wrong with me. It's not about any of that. There are people with the gift of healing. I wish I had the gift of healing. I pray for the gift of healing. I prayed for the gift of healing this morning, knowing that we were going to come pray for Michelle Young. I want the gift of healing. That would be awesome. And there are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who have that. I don't envy them, and I don't judge God for the fact that I'm not walking, you know, in the gift of healing where I just pray and touch and boom, instantaneous healing every single time. Now, we do see God heal. Even without us walking in that specific gift of healing. You hear what I'm saying? I want to make sure that we're processing this all just in a healthy manner. Because these are good gifts. And the enemy has used them to divide the body of Christ and to confuse Christians and to condemn believers. And that's a bunch of garbage. And we're not going to go there. We're going to look at these as good gifts from God that build up the body of Christ. And He gives some to my brother and some to my sister that I don't have. And I thank God for that, that they have that and that they're using it as we gather together. And I earnestly desire and go after all of the gifts because they not only build me up, but they're for the common good of everyone in the church family. So, church, let's thank God for His gifts, and let's go after them. So, again, I want to invite you to join us on Wednesday nights. This coming Wednesday and the following Wednesday. They're our last Wednesday nights in our current prayer room. And just as last week, we're just opening up those gatherings for a time to receive from the Lord, to receive the gifts that God has for us. It's not weird. If you were there on Wednesday, it wasn't some kind of, you know, weird, crazy experience that maybe you've been to before. It's just real people who love God and are just sitting in His presence and hearing from Him. And when the Lord gives us something, we're just stepping out in faith. And it's a great time to come to a safe place and to receive from God and to use whatever God is putting into you and to grow in those things and to encourage one another in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wednesday evening, 7 to 8:30, I invite you to come join us and let's just see what God wants to do as we continue to earnestly desire these amazing gifts that He has for us.